Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz, where you meet the artists. This is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen. It is Sunday, August 29th, 2010. I am in Las Vegas. My co-host, Mr. Smooth, Mike Reynolds, in Washington, D.C. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, sir. I'm doing great today. I'm just out and about right now and everything. That's it. Just enjoying the weather while we got it.
Yes. It's finally cool down here in Vegas, so I'm happy about that. Join us in the chat room along with Bonnie Fan Carol and a guest from Germany. Welcome, guest, listening in. By going to TalkingSmoothJazz.com and clicking on the radio show page and then the play chat button underneath the Robert Cavallo, Matt Marshak show. Or you can call 646-716-5485, 646-716-5485. This is a two-hour show today, and our first guest is a multi-talented musician, singer, and songwriter, Robert Cavallo. He is calling in from Birmingham, England, and he's working on his debut CD called All the Things You Know to Be True. Robert, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good evening for you, actually.
Good evening.
It's like 9 p.m. there for Robert, so we really appreciate you taking the time to join us and call in all the way from England. Thank you so much.
No problem.
So tell us about this debut CD that you're working on, All Things You Know to Be True.
Yeah. The CD, for me, as you rightly mentioned, it's my debut CD. It's basically inspired by life itself, I'm sure, just like a lot of artists who have come onto the radio and said there's different aspects of life that have inspired their music. In my case, it's like relationships, but not just like relationships in the sense of in a love sense, but like in a wider context of, you know, in the family, as also as human beings, as a human race, mm-hmm. as we treat each other. On the album, there's music-wise, very, very different styles. There's a very strong jazz element in running right through the album, as well as, I would say, African. There's funk, there's reggae in there because my background coming from, my parents are from Jamaica. So when I was growing up, I heard not just reggae music, I heard a lot of different styles of music. I heard soul, R&B. I even heard there was popular music via the Beatles that was played in the house. And all of that is like, how can I put it? It's had an impact on me musically. And you'll hear a lot of those influences, you know, throughout the album, in the music and lyrical. Musical and a lyrical context, but as I mentioned, going back to the themes in the album, I said relationships, love, as I said, in a wider context, but in there's some social commentary as well. I think the times that we're living in, even though economically I think it's quite, everybody's feeling it, basically, mm-hmm. in some form, shape, or size, and it's it has different effects on different people in different ways. I was in Brazil a couple of years ago, and I was in Rio, and I saw the favelas, and after visiting the favelas, had a deep effect on me. And again, I mean, I'm a big fan of Brazilian music, and there's elements of samba on the album. Again, that was something that I grew up hearing when I was younger. I used to hear a lot of Ayrton, Sergio Mendes, Flora Perim, and also some Lee Ritner with some fusion jazz, and Dave Grusin as well. A lot of different influences have made an impact, musical influences, on my what I actually do now. Yeah.
Okay. And you have a very diverse. I read that your musical influences are just as diverse as you are. I mean, Bob Marley, Stevie Wonder, and mm-hmm. Michelle Indeglik. I can't say her name.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Are your influences? How have they influenced you?
With regards to Bob Marley, for his honesty in lyrics and musicality, Stevie Wonder, what can I say? Total genius. Mm-hmm. Definitely somebody to in terms of music to look up to, and somebody to where you can actually hit a benchmark. That would be Stevie Wonder as well as Prince as well. Somebody who, like Michelle, I like Michelle because she pushes the boundaries with her music and her lyrical content, as well as making you dance and makes you think. Also, I like a band from France, but I believe they're based in Philadelphia at the moment, by the name of Le Nubians. And very big fan of them because I like how they're very similar to myself, how like you'll listen to their CD and you'll hear a lot of different influence. You'll hear the African element, you'll hear the jazz, and as well as like a strong reggae vibe going on there. And I like the diversity of their music. There's too many to mention. I'm a big fan of Miles Davis, even though he's no longer with us. But basically, mm-hmm. His lines on the trumpet were very simple, as well as melodic, but nevertheless there was a technicality in his music in terms of the chord progressions and the way the music was arranged. But his melodies, a lot of them you could actually whistle, which is which is kind of like a rarity for jazz. Because there, you've obviously, as you're aware, you've got different styles of jazz. You've got your short show is called Smooth Jazz, and a lot of them, artists like Kenny G, and various other saxophone players. A lot of their lines you can whistle, but then you've got your other side of jazz, which is avant-garde, and that's more complex and it's more freeform and more improvised. Yeah. So yeah, Miles Davis, definitely.
All right. Now, I mentioned that you are working on finishing up your debut CD, and I do have two tracks that Robert sent me. But this CD is you're scheduled to release October and November.
That's right. Yeah, we're down to final mixes at the moment, and we've got some. Obviously, it's got to be mastered after that. All the artwork and everything is completed. So, yeah, we're definitely looking at October, November. And I'm in the process of planning my launch in the UK. Also got some links in the States as well, more so in LA and New York, to do some shows, hopefully in 2011, to promote the CD.
Okay. Well, let's listen to one of these songs from the CD. The first one is called Beware. So tell me about this one.
Beware. Beware is kind of like it's jazzy, drum and bass, then it goes into kind of like a Brazilian samba vibe. It's a very interesting piece of music, and it's got a very soulful harmony. It's reminiscent of, is there a vocalist in the States called Janelle? I think she's signed to P. Diddy's label. It's very in a kind of like a similar vein to that. It's almost like it takes you back to the time of like Motown kind of vibe,
okay.
Like James Brown kind of influence. But the harmonies are very soulful and like almost gospel in terms of like harmony. Yeah. Beware.
Okay. All right. All right, this is Beware from Robert Cavajo's upcoming debut CD, All the Things You Know to Be True.
On, but I ain't in. Where should I begin? I said I count my blessings, blame them one by one.
Count my blessings, blame them one by one.
I just can't shake it up.
I just can't shake it.
Running at temperature that red hot. Just can't shake it up.
Shake
this feeling.
Shake
this feeling.
Shake hard to describe.
Kind of heavy. Heavy on my bones. Ring, ring, calls my phone.
But I ain't home, and I ain't alone.
I ain't afraid of no duke. Takes all. I ain't afraid of no spooks.
Let us pray.
I said I count my blessings zero to none.
Count my blessings zero to none.
I got this feeling, know where I'm coming from. Just gotta shake it up.
Just gotta shake it up.
Just gotta shake it up.
Shake it up.
I'm breathing to shake it. Shake
it.
Do you pray for me the way I pray for you? Do you pray for me the way I pray for you?
Booty shaking, chocolate stacking, cotton picking, good for nothing, nip and tucking, nip for lucking, take the lick but not the dish.
Never hating.
Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll make it in a heart.
All right, there you have it. Beware. That's from the upcoming debut CD, All the Things You Know to Be True.
Oh,
all
very
right.
Nice.
Now, I like that too. Yeah, very much so.
Now, Rob, I wanted to ask you too, real fast. I know that you were a self-taught guitarist and everything, but when did you really realize that you had that passion for singing and playing the instrument?
Can you repeat that again, please?
I know that you're a self-taught musician, but when did you realize that you had the chops to kind of go out and pursue that as a way of life for yourself?
Oh, right. Okay. Do you mean like who inspired me to play or?
No, not really. I mean, you're self-taught, but sometimes when you're a self-taught musician, you just learn to play. But when did you realize that it was in you to take it on a more professional stage, not just be...
Oh, okay. Okay. I am self-taught up until a point. I have had some training because in the UK we have a grading system in terms of like reading music, and I actually got up to grade 8 because as well as being involved like in the music industry and composing and stuff, I'm a music teacher, so I've got a degree in music.
Okay.
And within that degree, one of the components was to like major in your main instrument, and my main instrument is bass guitar. So I had to go through when I went to university, I was up to a grade 5, but by the end of my time at university, I had to get up to a grade 8. So one of my main exam pieces, I had to play Teen Town by Jaco Pastorius on bass to get up to that standard. So I'm self-taught up until a point, but as I said, I had to have some training, and very valid training as well, because within that training, it helped me to understand my role as a musician, but obviously as a bass player, but it gave me the understanding of composing as well and how the elements actually work together within, musical arrangement and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you going to be singing and playing instruments throughout the CD?
I'm actually playing bass, some keys. I play flute as well. I'm self-taught on the flute mic. One of my favorite flautists is a guy called Dave Valentin. I don't know if you've heard of him. jazz flautist. He's coming from a Latin vibe, and also I like Bobby Humphries as well. I'm also playing bass guitar, some guitar as well. It's between myself and producer, and also some of my band members came in. My trombone player came in with the track that you just heard, Beware, and did all the brass on that, trombone and trumpet. Got some live drums on there via the drummer who works with the band, Julian Chambers, and also some guitar as well from my band neighbor, guitarist who's also part of the band, Howard Chambers, plays on there, and as well as some live percussion, which again you could hear on Beware via the percussionist who plays
with
the band. Yeah. So a lot of it's a combination of organic with some sequencing as well going on. I am actually planning some further projects for myself. I'd like to do a Brazilian project where the instrumentation is just purely, obviously, live. That's something that I'm planning to do for the future. And hopefully I'll go to Brazil as well. Get some sun.
And I was going to ask you about your band. It's called Extended Family.
Yeah.
How long have you guys been together?
This is probably about 4 years now. I think this year has been quite a fairly quiet year. A lot of the guys who I do use, however, they, even though we are a band as such, but they do like other session work with other musicians in the music circuit in the UK. But mainly because I've been trying to finish off the album, obviously they've had their input as well. But I think for us right now, the most important thing is to get the album finished and just basically get out there and just prove our worth and just let the music speak for itself.
Okay.
Do you want me to introduce the band to you? Give you some names of people?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, as I said, we've got Howard Chambers on guitar, Mark Davis on percussion, bass player is a guy called Craig Spencer. On keyboards, we've got David Gray, who's very into jazz. Ola Brown on vocals, he's the backing singers. Marcy Redd, vocals. Leanne Stoddart, who's actually from Washington. She also does a lot of poetry as well. Sometimes she incorporates it into our live set, which makes things quite interesting. And we've got Ben Cook on trombone, and last but not least, the drummer, Julian Chambers.
Okay. And I also read that you, as a child, wrote poetry.
Yeah, that's right. That's how it all started, in terms of like my songwriting. I used to actually perform poetry at school. I used to go into like the competitions and perform some of the poetry that I did back then. Everything happens for a reason, and some of it was quite, how can I put it, it was very simple, the rhyme in terms of the rhyming and everything, but they were funny. A lot of the times used to be my poetry, and cheesy as they were, a lot of people were laughing, hopefully not at me, but at the humor of the poems that I read out at that time. Yeah, but that's how it all started in terms of my songwriting and so forth. Yeah, so it's basically through my poetry that I used to do at high school.
All right. Okay. You mentioned some dates in the U.S. Will this be your first time coming to the U.S. to perform?
Yeah, it will indeed. Hopefully, because at the moment I'm just trying to secure some management in the States, and if all goes well, we can get some links out there to do some performances, as I said, hopefully in New York and in LA. I mean, obviously, I'll definitely stay in touch with yourself, Terry, so and keep you informed with regards to that, and I'll send you the CD as well.
Cool.
Once everything's complete. So,
you also work do some neo soul work. You work with the neo soul artist Ola.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
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 So how was that? Because you know, from smooth jazz to neo soul, and you know, all the different things that you're into. How was that experience working with a neo soul artist?
Yeah, Ola. How can I describe him? I actually wouldn't say that he was neo soul. I'd actually say he's soul. He's a soul artist in the truest sense of the word. He's from the school of Donny Hathaway in terms of his inspiration. He's amazing. That he is in the UK. I'm not sure about his presence, what it's like in the States, but in the UK he's kind of like underrated, but he's very well respected. In terms of like, if you mention his name in like in a musical circle with fellow musicians, it sounds wrong. It's like, yeah, Ola is wow. He's like, I don't know if you guys have heard of Omar. He's also from London as well. Very well respected. I think he's back and forth from the US, doing various tours out there as well, but. Yeah, going back to Ola, he's amazing. Absolutely amazing. He's my mentor. No doubt, yeah.
But you also played in the band The Soothsayers.
Yeah, that's right. A jazz band. We were playing a lot of traditional jazz, That helped me with my chops, especially with regards to my bass playing, and taught me a lot about syncopation and basically listening and developing myself as a better musician in a different genre than from what I've been used to playing in. That band, as well as doing the traditional side of jazz, I think, if I remember correctly, they did a few original ideas as well. That's what it was developing into. But unfortunately, the band didn't stick together long enough for it to reach its full potential. But when I was in there, it was a very good experience. Very good experience. Very good learning, musical experience.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that you are looking for management here in the U.S.
Yeah.
How are you using, like, the internet to help you find someone?
Well, it's really strange you saying that, because there was a lady who I got acquainted with on Facebook, and she got me in touch with some management who I'm liaising with right now. Who's actually very interested in managing me, and she's based more so in California, as well as New York, and that's how basically that link came about, through Facebook, and through me sending out the music to this lady, and then she passed on the music to somebody else who she knew, which is quite shocking. The power of these.
See?
Make the world
that's
smaller.
Great.
It's like myself.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, that'll be awesome for you to come here and hope you have a management company. That'd be great. Now, are you I see here that you're on Versify. Your CD is going to be released by Versify Music.
Music, that's right, which is my own label. Yeah, and obviously it'll be on the other digital outlets like CD Baby, the major one, which is iTunes, and Amazon as well. So, it'll be definitely available online. So, that's where it's at. That's where it's at.
I'm glad that you were able to hook up with somebody to help you with some management here, because I think your first experience in the U.S. should be a good experience. You know, when you go home, you want to be able to say that you had a great concert experience. So that should be cool.
Thank you.
That should be there. Now, what your background is, you said it's reggae, Latin, jazz, and soul. So what type of audience are you going to target once you come to the U.S.?
That's interesting. Hopefully, because the album, even though there's those influences in there, I would definitely say the album has a very strong soul R&B angle. That is the overall genre that I'm aiming for. And the audience, I'm hoping, will be coming from that side of things, from the soul and the R&B. But having said that, though, I'm hoping to draw in as many people as possible, because whenever we've done shows in the UK, our audience has been very varied. We get a lot of just everyone. It's quite strange, but I suppose I shouldn't really say it's strange, but it's the power of music. At the end of the day, it's the people who decide. As the artist, all you can do is go out there and just deliver what you've got in the true sense of the word, and show your truth to the world and see what you get back. Hopefully it won't be potatoes and tomatoes. Hopefully they'll be there to celebrate along with you. So I'm hoping the audience will be rooted in like soul, R&B, and then the jazz heads will come in, and then basically everybody. Mm-hmm. That's the whole aim. You know, the music is made for people.
to say that, because we've got some artists over here now who are doing what you're saying. Like, they're mixing you know, the R&B elements into the smooth jazz and vice versa, you know.
Yeah.
Things like
yeah.
that. So I think, like I said, you just, it's not about just targeting one, I guess, audience. You're just trying to make some good music, and whoever likes the music, I guess, that'll be your audience, I guess, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I'm hearing that loud and clear, Mike. yeah, no, he's correct. He's correct in saying that, like, you know, you make good music at the end of the day, and whoever captures onto that, it's just whoever. That's all it is, you know. At the same time, Terry, you asked me, you know, that's a good question to ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Because there has to be some kind of, like, angle to what you do in order to focus, like, a certain audience. But having said all of that, at the same time, things are changing so rapidly in terms of music itself. I mentioned a group called Le Nubians from France, who are based in Philadelphia. As I said, their style is, it's, as I said, there's a strong jazz element in there. There's so many different elements. I mean, people will call it world music, but it isn't really.
Yeah.
It's still African. That's the truth. The root of it is very African. I mean, they're half African themselves, but that all comes through their music. And again, their audience, as far as I know, is very broad, very broad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the kind of I'd like to follow their lead.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And see, and right now, I guess, like I said, the music is so many different angles you can work in. And like I said, with the technology, you know, it's kind of hard now for an artist that doesn't have a defined category to kind of fit in. But like I said, you can kind of make your own market by, like, just making some good music, I guess. And
Definitely. Yeah, so because of, yeah, as you mentioned, you're right in saying because of the technology, there's so many artists out there who are doing their own thing, and people are picking up on it because it's not the run of the mill. You know, a lot of the major labels, they're throwing out to you a lot of the standard soul and R&B stuff. I'm not knocking it. It is what it is, and every music serves its purpose. But also, at the same time, because of how technology is playing its part in the music industry now, it's also opening up the gates for artists to diversify in their music, not because they're diversifying because they feel that they want to capture different heads. When they're composing, it's what just comes out. You can't sometimes you can't control your creativity. And I know a lot of artists who have been signed to major labels have had problems because of that.
Yes,
in terms of presenting records. I don't know if you guys have heard of a guy called Bilal.
Yeah, Bilal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a neo soul artist. Mm-hmm.
Wow, he's had some problems.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
He's coming through it now.
Go ahead.
No, he's coming through it right now. Basically, from what I gather, he's in a position now where he's creating music that he wants to create.
Mm-hmm.
It's still very much on the soul base. But musically, there's a lot of different influences in there. There's like the rock, et cetera, et cetera, with him on top, going crazy.
Yeah. You know, I had one of his first albums, First Born Second, and very good album that he made and everything. But over there in London, the climate is different, because I know that a lot of the soul artists do come over there to London and overseas to play, and you guys give them a good reception when they do come over there. But how are you going to, you know, try to infiltrate the market in the U.S.? You know, because what is the climate to you over there where you're at in London? I mean, because you guys still have, like, radio and you guys really appreciate the music over there, you know, versus here where some of the stations are dropping, well, some of the smooth jazz stations anyway, you know, to really break into the R&B or the soul side. that genre or that category doesn't really have, like, an outlet, you know, because right now it's just R&B and hip-hop. That's it, you know. I mean, you've got people like Jill Scott, like you said, Balil, you got Eric Robeson, people like that are in that medium, but they don't have an outlet to really display their music on a national Right, you know, because the radio stations are only playing, like, the hip-hop stuff or the R&B stuff. So how are you going to try to infiltrate? I mean, have you guys come up with a plan to try to get into that
over here?
No,
totally. You see, this is where management will come into it in terms of, like, a strategy. Obviously, mm-hmm. I have to go with a strategy for the management. I think, to be truthful, if everything gets confirmed for shows and everything, I think first and foremost is that our shows have to be, for myself speaking, have to be
mm-hmm.
Spot on.
In
order to capture the American's imagination. I actually think, I mean, when you, because I definitely will send Terry a copy of the album, and hopefully, you know, you will enjoy it, and hopefully you will get it, so to speak. So I'm two down, 10 million to go. So, yeah. Yeah, but as I said, definitely, you know, we need like a strategy. That's quite interesting what you said with regards to Eric Robertson and Jill Scott and the other artists. That's quite sad, because that tells me that the radio out there, am I right in saying that it's very formula?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't actually go outside from what they're given or they're playlisted. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where there's a will, there's a way. That's what I say. Build that wall and we'll knock it down.
That's right.
With the music industry going through such a transition right now, especially the genre of smooth jazz has been hit really hard. And the labels are now, what they're doing is they're pairing up artists instead of an artist headlining their own show, now they're pairing up artists together to perform. And they're also having artists, let's say if an artist comes from the East Coast to perform on the West Coast, well, usually that artist will not bring their band with them. They will, you know, play with the house band, and that band will have to learn their music. So when you come over to the States, number one, are you planning on bringing your band with you? And that may, and then if not, you will have to, your management company, or you guys will have to find a band here in the U.S. to learn your music to be able to play during the concerts.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's something that I've thought about and discussed many times with various people in the U.K. In terms of costs, in the reality of the situation, it would be easier for me to hire some American musicians and take and bring UK, my band, with me. There are some American musicians who I know already, strangely enough, more so in LA, and I know a couple of people in New York. However, saying that, my plan is to bring my band. I mean, I'm thinking of, if we do get to do some gigs next year, it's going to be acoustically. I'm thinking about bringing my guitarist and my percussionist, so it's just the three of us. So we'll just be doing it in small to start off with, and then the plan is to then eventually get the whole band out there. So you get to hear the fullness of how it should sound. So it's baby steps. I couldn't bring my band out there straight away. As I said earlier also as well, there has to be a strategy in how I'm going to introduce myself to the USA. So, yeah, there's a lot of planning and, you know, a lot of thrashing out of ideas, you know, but it's all positive. It's all positive. One way or another, we will get out there. And I'll be
in
there.
Yeah. And, you know, I tell a lot of artists that I talk that, you know, you don't create your audience with your CD and your music like that. You create your audience with your live performance. So if you go out and you kill a show, you know, where you can get a gig, and you do a good performance, people will start to talk, and they'll actually start to follow you through that. You know, people just think that they can just make good music and people are going to fuck. It's all in your live performance. But if you can have music and you have a great live performance, That's when you'll create your crowd and your audience.
Yeah, that's very true, Mark. Yeah, that is the plan.
Gotcha.
That's part of the plan. So,
but
the logistics, as I said, we'd have to start off small. And I think that's probably the thinking about it now, it'd be the wisest way to do it. Because I wouldn't like to go out there and cure all in terms of like the financial side of things. It could be too oppressive to start off with, and then just to test the water, you know, and then, as I said, develop it and then bring, you know, the full band.
Yeah. All right. And you know, that's such a great thing too. And like people like you that are coming into the country, brand new. You know, you guys could, like, if you had a U.S. manager, you know, try to hook on with the artist that does have a following and open up for them. You know, like,
yeah,
Terry,
she
just went to see Naturally 7 last night, and you know, we've interviewed them like a couple of weeks ago, and people over here had never heard of them at all. You know, but they performed in front of Michael Bublé in front of, what, 17,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of artists that people, you know, like, so we're like, they're brand new to us, but rather than getting the opportunity to open in front of a major artist like that, now they're creating fan base for themselves.
Yeah,
yourself, you know, you can kind of latch on and be an opener for, you know, a neo-soul artist that does have a nice following, so that you can turn up and through them, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm. That sounds like the way. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. So
well,
if you're listening below,
last song.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
What'd you say?
I was sorry. I was just about to say, if you're listening, Bilal, Jill Scott.
I have seen Bilal. I have seen him. I've seen Jill Scott live, and like I said, Bilal, I love his voice. He has a very nice voice. I love him. So, you know, yeah, and actually, like I said, right now, like I said, those guys like that, they have a good following, but see, the radio creates a lot of the fan base for a lot of artists too. You know, people don't understand.
Yeah, that's very
true. Know, right. So if you're getting played in rotation 1,000 times a day, that's where the audience is created as well.
Yeah.
So now without that outlet, you really have to go out and try harder. And guys like Balil and you know, Jill kind of came out at a good time. Balil and like Eric Robeson and Kanye Doss and Algebra, singers like that, very good singers, but people don't get a chance and opportunity to hear them artists because of the fact that they don't get any radio play. So you know,
yeah,
you're right.
That's a shame.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. No, thank you, Mike. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, I understand. Believe me, I understand.
It's a tough cookie.
Yes, it really is.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to play this last song before we let you go. This is called Loving You. Tell me about this one.
Okay. The title speaks for itself. It's called Loving You. This is more of a soulful R&B kind of like vibe. Loving You.
All right, this is Loving You.
Love. It's the woman with your fancy talk. I heard you've been boasting to your friends that you be Miss Independent. Oh, so self-sufficient. Ain't relying on no man, but your mama told me at night you pray to Jah for that special someone. Here I am, want no more. Who hustles on Denton Avenue? Who's down for the struggle? You've heard enough of me. Now take me to me, your family. Don't mean to rush and press. Let's jump the groove. Or is it too soon? Home in the islands.
loving you.
Gonna be loving you.
Black butterfly.
Take my
love. Beautiful black butterfly.
Take my love. See, gonna be loving you.
Take my love.
See, gonna be loving you.
All right, that was Loving You. That's from the upcoming CD. All the Things You Know to Be True by Robert Carvalho.
That was hot.
Yeah, very
like
nice.
That.
Very nice.
That was hot. And you know, Robert, they also have an International Soul Summit every year for like neo soul artists and everything. They just had it recently, I think 2 weeks ago in Atlanta. So I can give you a couple of the guys' names and everything. You can kind of reach out to them because Yeah, because, you know, that genre of music, like I said, I guess you want to call it a genre now, but they're like you said, they're still soul artists, but they're creating a movement, you know, because they feel like they're not getting the respect they deserve. And an artist like yourself, is, you could definitely, you know, blend in with that and really do something. That song was hot. I love that one. That was hot.
Thank you. That was called Loving You. Well,
yeah.
Robert, thank you so much for joining us all the way from Birmingham, England. And Mike and I, in Talking Smooth Jazz, we wish you all the success.
Thank you. Likewise, keep doing what you're doing and playing that smooth jazz and everything else in between. No, thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. And if Terry has your number, do you have his number, Terry? Because I would definitely want to get to talk to Robert and like and pass some numbers on to him, some names and numbers.
Well, he's calling from England, so I have to give you his email address.
Email,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, great.
That'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
Now, but Robert, let us know where we can find you. We know you're on Facebook. Do you have a website?
Yeah, on versifymusic.com and myspace.com/Carvalho, but it's with a K, not a C, because somebody took the C a long time ago, so I had to spell it with a K.
Oh,
Carvalho.
Okay.
Carvalho.
Okay. All right. Carvalho. And Versify is spelled V as in Victor, ERSIFY, .com.
Right.
You can
Correct.
Find him on there and on Facebook as well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck to you. And again, all the best to you.
Thank you.
And definitely when you hit the U.S. and your new management company, and I'll send Mike the email address and he'll send you all the information for that stuff and everything.
Yeah. Brilliant.
That'd be great.
Thanks, Mike.
All right.
Thank you. Thanks, Terry.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
And you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good afternoon.
All right. That was Robert Carvalho. And he called all the way from Birmingham, England. His upcoming CD is called All the Things You Know to Be True. Scheduled to be released sometime in October or November. So as soon as we get word on that, we'll definitely let you know where you can pick that up at.
Dude, that was hot. I love that.
I know. Those last two songs, Beware and Loving You. Really nice.
It's artists like that really need to be found and really need to be given the opportunity to really do something out here, you know, definitely. I still get that song in my head now, you know, that Loving You. I can't sing, but hey, you know what it was.
If those two songs were any indication, that's going to be a hot CD, and I'm definitely looking forward to that, and I definitely will be featuring that on the Jazz Queen Music Show as well, so the listeners can get a feel for that, too. So that's cool. I'm hoping, you know, that things will work out for him with the management company here in the U.S., and, he will be able to do very well over here, very well.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, definitely. All right, up next is Matt Marshak. He should be calling in a few minutes, but I have a Smooth Jazz News Minute to play, so here it is.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute. 4Play's long-awaited new CD, Touch the Sky, is scheduled for release on October 26th. The new album is the first to feature guitarist Chuck Loeb, who joined earlier this year after the departure of Larry Carlton. Touch the Sky features 11 tracks with guest vocalists Anita Baker and Ruben Studdard. Harvey Mason says the new album's title is an apt description of their current mood. In some ways, bringing someone new into the fold has made us a new band. It opens up new opportunities and new potential, and we want to see how high we can take it. We look forward to hearing this new CD. Coming up in September on Talking Smooth Jazz, singers Helen Rogers and Lynn Fiedmont, saxophonist Jack Probielski and Michael J. Thomas, flutist Randy Mueller, keyboardist Rodney Taylor, and guitarist Unim. This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
So, Mike, your boo is going to be on the new 4-play CD.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay, all right. I'm waiting for that one then. You know, and actually, sorry, I just found out that she was at the Wolf Trap last Thursday, and Nita performed. And I found out about it on Wednesday night, and she performed on Thursday night, and she has Gerald Albright as her saxophonist.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I missed it, sorry. I missed it. Did somebody call me like Wednesday night? Hey, Mike, are you going to the? I got an email chat on Facebook. They asked me, was I going to the show? I'm like, well, what show? They say, Anita Baker. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So, yes, I missed that show. And, hey, I'm kind of mad about it, but like, Anita come back, so she'll be back.
Mr. Boo. Mm-mm-mm. And Ruben Studdard is also going to be on the new 4-play CD, so I definitely want to hear
that's
that.
That's going to be nice.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, so, you know, we've talked about this so much, you know, in the past, I guess, since a certain artist released a CD that, you know, a lot of these smooth jazz guys are going to start implementing, you know, R&B singers and neo-soul artists into their work now, you know, and I guess we're starting to see that with, like, the full play using Anita Baker and Ruben, you know.
Well, you know, with the loss of so many jazz stations, they need to really cross over into another genre and get another fan base to keep their music going.
Well, I don't really think so because, you know, I mean, we look at it, we talk about this a lot, you know, haven't really talked about it on the show, but if you look at the jazz festivals, you know, those places be sold out. You know, you go to Seabreeze, Berks, and Capitol, and Newport, those places are sold out, but I guess just the fact that the radio stations are gone, you know, maybe that's what they're looking at, I guess, you know, that they need to keep
relevant. That's what I'm saying in terms of airplay.
Oh, okay,
In terms of airplay, they don't have, you know, with the loss of so many stations, they're now having to rethink their music grab some of those urban listeners and a new fan base. So they
do you really want to put that music out on an urban station? You know, especially because people will start to think that it's the artist is like Anita's song versus 4-play song. You know what I mean?
Well, I think it's a good mix. Like Brian, he has a good mix on his CD, and he's got, you know, one on urban and one on a jazz station. You know, the Watercolors is there, and the music will get heard there, and hopefully it'll get heard on the smooth jazz stations that are left. But, I think they still have to rethink their music and definitely try to grab a new demographic, you know, to keep going.
It's getting crazy out here. But hey, if any smooth jazz artists need some singers, like I can definitely get in the studio. Hey, listen, couple of tracks. Yes, I can put down a couple of bars, sir. Yes, I can do it, you know, for just a couple of seconds.
Look, they will lose fans, okay?
I can hold a little note now. I can't go on and sing the whole song now. I can do a couple of bars now.
You could be a background singer. Huh?
That's right, way in the back. That's right.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. I went to see Naturally 7 last night, and oh, my gosh, I'm telling you, to hear their music is one thing, but to see them perform live is totally different, and they were so, it was just amazing what they, you know, how they performed. I think they did maybe 3 or 4 songs. And Matt Marshak just called in, so I'll finish that story in a few, just when we finish talking with Matt. So, Matt, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for calling in.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, let me introduce you to my co-host, Mike Reynolds.
Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, stranger?
I'm doing okay, man. I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right today.
Oh my gosh! So Matt, how's it going?
It's everything's going well. It's a nice day here in New York. I'm in the studio and working on the next project. But overall, I can't complain.
Oh, the next project. Can you tell us about that?
Well, hopefully we're looking for this fall something sort of with a late night vibe, an R&B kind of jazz thing, and hoping to get that out in October.
Wow. Okay. Do you have a name for it?
You know what? There are a few names. One that's on the top of the list is called The After Party.
Okay.
And then if you get
the
an
after
idea
party,
from
I like
that
one. Yeah, I like that one. Hey, you know, I like that one. I assume you said it, something just popped in my head, so I'm not going to tell you what, but something did pop in my head when you said after party, so.
Okay.
It's cool, right. It's cool. Oh, man.
Well, is there something that you can play for us, a little snippet you can give us?
A snippet?
Mm-hmm.
You know what, I don't have anything yet, but I'll tell you what, but within a month or so, I should have everything ready to go.
Okay. All right. All right, then. All right. So this is guitarist Matt Marshak. His current CD is called Family Function. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is the CD release party that the Shares gave you in November. We thought that was so cool that they would do that.
Oh, yeah. It was one of those moments where you know, you know, heartwarming moments where, you know, people who follow your music invite you to their home and invite, you know, hundreds of fans to the backyard and, you know, give you a show. It's pretty amazing, something I was very grateful for. But it was one of the most, you know, unforgettable shows I've ever had. And so, yeah, that was thanks for bringing it up. That was a great memory.
Mm. Yeah, I think we all should do more of that and, you know, get more artists in our backyards and throw them CD release parties. I thought that was really cool the way they set that up for you and had you come in and perform and all of that. So that was really good. When I read that in the Smooth Jazz News magazine, I mentioned it the same day on the show and gave a shout-out to Mr. and Mrs. Shares because, you know, they are diehard fans of yours, obviously. So that was a great way for them to show that to you.
Oh yeah, and like you said, Terry, that it, you know, this could be something that happens besides CD release bars, concerts, and, you know, on a small scale, you know, it's somewhat manageable to pull off something like this, and you know, a lot of the artists are sort of flexible to make something like this work. So hopefully we could see more of this type of thing.
I agree. All right, so we're working on a new album due out this fall. Looking forward to that. Family Function did very well.
Right, yeah. I was very happy with the last record. And it's really only about a year and a half old, but I'm already thinking of the next thing. But, yeah, it was a great, you know, last year and a half, and I was happy with the stations who embraced it and folks who picked it up at the shows and online, and yeah, I couldn't ask for anything more. It was probably my most successful album to date, so I have a lot to be grateful for and with that project.
All right. So now you grew up in a rock and roll home. Your home was full of the rock and roll music, and you also had a lot of great teachers in your high school who mentored and inspired you. So you go from rock and roll to jazz.
Right.
How was that transition for you?
Well, you know, it's like, I don't know how you say it. Maybe it's like eating hamburgers and hot dogs for a long time, and then someone introduces you to some fine cuisine or something. It's got a bunch more, you know, a few other ingredients. And, I grew up playing rock and roll, and my brother was a drummer, and there was bands always rehearsing at the house, and that's what I did for, you know, the first 10 or 15 years I played. And And after a while, though, we just playing some of those gigs in the loud environments, and you know, I just crave something different. And at that same moment, I, you know, was introduced and got to go see George Benson, Larry Carlton, people like that live, and that really just changed my whole perspective. And I'm thankful I had a chance to play rock, because there's still some of the attitude and approaches which I still use from that. Those experiences, but I'm happy to pass them on now.
Yeah, cool.
Okay.
Now you came up in Long Island, New York, and you built your following in the New York area and everything. And you were given a nice plug by the station there, 101.9, I think it is.
Yes,
101.9, right? Yeah. So now, as an independent artist, what was your strategy in building your fan base up in that area, you know, coming out?
Well, you know what, when I started, I've always sort of tried to think, you know, sort of like, besides being an artist, I guess a business person, an entrepreneur, and, you know, so you're doing this kind of music, and all right, it doesn't get the most exposure on TV and other places, so to get a following, you really have to work and think strategically. I had this idea when I was, you know, virtually unknown. What if I set up in a club right next to a venue that was having a big name, and then start playing right after the show let out? And that's what I started doing. And I think the first band I tried this with was 4Play. And as soon as they were done, we started playing at the club next door. And God's honest truth, within 20, 30 minutes, we had 150 people in the club. and they stayed till like 2 a.m. and so I did that at this club that just happened to be near this venue in New York, and the owners were very happy, and it worked out great for everyone. And but it really allowed me to get a little buzz going up here in New York. And so if anyone's listening, it's a great idea.
Yeah, that is a great idea. I mean, I'm just thinking to myself, right after 4Play plays and you just start up playing, I mean, yeah, people are really going to come over, because they don't want to go home sometimes, you know. They want to keep listening to some music. That was, wow, I love that.
I mean, or at least it worked in that instance, but, that helped us get going, and that was my strategy early on, and then just wherever you could, you know, just trying to do your best, and we had a couple instances where people asked us to open up for other bands, and that really helped too, because, you know, someone who's been around and has their own following, and you get a chance to be right in front of that and tap into that. That was something I benefited from, and so I'm thankful for those artists who let me open up for them.
Yes. Now I have to ask you too, Matt, because you know, it's mentored to this a lot. It's so many saxophonists out here. Do you think that you have an advantage of creating your own thing and doing something, you know, with you being a guitar player with so many sax players out here now?
Oh, you know, that's a good point. So early on, I did have a sax player who would play once in a while, and then probably because of budget reasons, I couldn't afford it. I just started going out without sax, and then I started to notice, like what you said, people picked up on it, that there was no horn in the band. I don't know, maybe it is an advantage, because if there's a festival or there's something going on and they already have three sax players, and maybe they say, hey, we're going to need to break it up, and maybe they call me because they've already got too many horn players. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might work out. So.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. So true. Now, I had mentioned that you had some great teachers in high school who mentored and inspired you, but one in particular turned you on to jazz.
Yeah, I had a teacher, sort of like this guru out here in New York, by the name of Richard Rabideau, and he was this great player, but just a real wizard, and he had a great source of knowledge on everything. And I would, you know, talk at length with him musically, and just sometimes it wasn't even physically playing; it was just talking and listening. And he's the one who kind of opened up my brain and mind to, you know, jazz concepts and improvisation and all types of playing and just approaches in general. Yeah, so we continue to stay in touch, but he really changed a lot of the way I think about music. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we are talking to Matt Marshak, guitarist Matt Marshak. If you would like to speak with Matt, please call 646-716-5485. I'm going to get into some music from the Family Function CD. I'm going to start, Matt, with Gratitude. Tell me about this one.
Here's a tune co-written with my keyboard player, Rodney Williams, and it's really a thank you to all the people who have helped me get this far and who've been on my team and just a part of the journey.
Okay, this is Gratitude. That was Gratitude from Matt Marshak's Family Function CD. Brian Sorgel from Jazz Times says, like Larry Carlton, Matt Marshak has a taste for electric guitar music with a bite of blues and rock, but, again like Carlton, he can lay down some sweet, smooth jazz licks at will.
That was nice right there. That was very nice. Yes. And Matt, I wanted to ask you, the title Family Function, was that your first choice? How did that come about, the titling of the CD?
It was something that I'd always thought about, you know, function spelled with a K, and majority of the songs kind of had a funk flavor, and the album is really kind of the family essence is you know, the guys I play with, who, you know, they're my band, but I consider them family, so that was sort of the thinking behind it, yeah.
Okay, cool. Now, on this CD, four of the tracks are live. Was that planned, or how did you guys come up with doing them live? I mean, a few people do live tracks, but they do only maybe one. You did four.
Yeah, we just set up in the studio like they used to do and said, hey, I want to capture, you know, just that live moment like at a gig. And let's just press record and you know, let's limit the overdubs and everything else. Let's just play. And we did that on four tracks right in the same session, one after another, just in an afternoon here in New York City. And I really love that sound, you know, where it's you could, it's human, you know. I like that.
And who's working with you on this album?
Our Family Function, there was a lot of folks. The core unit is Kenny Harris on bass. We have Carl Anderson on drums. Ronnie Williams.
He-Man.
The famous He-Man on drums, yeah. And Ronnie Williams on keys. And even my brother, Chris Marshak, makes an appearance on some drum stuff in production.
Okay.
So, and there's, who else is on there? Let's think. We got David Mann.
And you got Benji Parecki too, right? And Benji's on there too, right?
And Benji Parecki playing keyboards on a few tracks, yes.
Okay.
And I see that Schiltz is also on the song I Will Be With You.
Yeah, I can't forget my buddy Schiltz. He's playing some sax for me on I Will Be With You, yeah.
Yeah, we had him on the show a few weeks ago. I'll play that song next.
Great.
Yeah. So, now I read that you write TV jingles. Will we know some of the jingles that you've written?
I've done a few. There was one I did here in New York for the baseball team, which I'm a fan of, the Mets. And if you lived here, you know, it was sort of like a kids show, that was sort of a rock guitar thing. And also did some for some a staple company called Arrow Staples, which was pretty popular. I heard that it was on TV for a while. It was sort of like a jazzy rock thing that was getting played around, but those are two you may have heard, but hopefully there's some more coming in too. I got to pick for my new record.
And your guitar was featured on the Mets Zone on Fox Sports.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was
Mets Zone. I'm not a sports person, so you have to explain. What's the Mets Zone? What is that?
That was a show for kids. It was sort of like where they try to get, you know, new Mets fans at a young age, and they wanted some catchy, vibrant song, and co-wrote that with my brother. We did all the lyrics and the guitar work, and that used to air on the sports channel here in New York for that TV show, yeah.
Ooh, okay, cool.
All right.
Well, if you want to get some more music, I was going to ask Matt another question, but I wish to ask him some more music to ask him about working with kids and everything.
Okay.
Yes, I want to play the song featuring Schiltz, I Will Be With You. Is there a story with this one?
This is, let me see, this is part of those songs that Mike alluded to, the live songs, and I needed some funky sax. I called Schiltz in, and he took care of it.
Okay, I will be with you. right, there you go. I Will Be With You featuring Shilts. And your is that your brother on the drums?
That one is Carl C. Man Anderson on the drums, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. Now, Matt, you mentioned working with doing, you know, the Kids Zone for the Mets and everything, but you also go to schools and everything to, get kids into trying to get into music and, music and instruments. We know out here nowadays in schools, in public schools, music is the first thing that they cut. And so how did you get to going out to these different schools and talking to these children about the about music?
Well, you know, it was I had gone to school and studied education, you know, while studying a bunch of other things, and out of college, while I was doing some gigs, you know, I had a couple teachers who would come to gigs and they suggested, hey, you know, you should come play for the kids. And having worked with kids, I developed sort of a little curriculum where we would go in and we'd play and we'd talk about jazz, talk about blues. We make it very fun, entertaining, and we get the kids involved too. And it's really just to give them exposure because a lot of kids aren't exposed to jazz. So, you know, TV is limited what it covers in terms of that. So we want to make sure that they have that option, that exposure to jazz and instruments and music in general. Yeah. So we've started with a couple of schools, but now we're pretty busy with it. So in between, the festivals and gigs, you can usually find us at some schools.
And did your guitar clinics start from that, or were you doing that before?
The guitar, when we went on the road, that's when the guitar clinic started popping up because we'd be playing in Iowa, for instance, and there'd be a college nearby, and music professor would ask me or the band just to stop by and do a little sort of clinic for the kids and or the students, I should say, and where we play, talk about our music and some concepts, and so that's where that sort of developed from. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. Well, I'm going to play another song. Let's see. I'm going to play "Great Soul." Tell me about this one.
Here's a tune produced by my brother, and we wanted to push the parameters of smooth jazz or jazz in general, and we decided to combine the contemporary Indian sound of Bollywood with sort of hip hop and jazz. And here's this unique song I call "Great Soul."
All right.
That it has a surprise
song.
Ending there.
Yeah. I thought maybe something happened on my end. That was called Great Soul, featuring Chris Marshak. And my notes say that this is a tribute to Mahatma Gandhi, which is a continuation of your shout-out to the world icons who have inspired you.
Yeah. On my last album, I did a song called Brotherhood dedicated to Martin Luther King Jr., and the most recent album, this song is a tribute to another one of my idols, Gandhi. And so, yeah, that's what you just heard. It was Great Soul, and probably the most different thing I've ever done. So,
Yeah, it's very, very different, but it's very nice. We like the vibe, especially those in the chat room. They're saying they really like the vibe of it.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, I read that there's a cruise coming up in November that you're going to be on, a jazz cruise.
Yes, yes. It's called the Groove Cruise, and November 5th through the 8th, and it sails from Florida, and it's a great cruise I'm doing with Mark Antoine and Jakeem Joyner, and it's a nice, quick, like I guess you would call a three-day cruise, and there's a show each night, and leaves on, I guess it's like a Thursday, and you're back on the Monday, yeah.
Okay.
And
cabins
and
only start at $350. Gosh, you can't beat that.
No, it's a great deal, and it. If I can, the website is groovejazzcruise.com.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. Wow. $350 out of, and that sails November 5th through the 8th.
Right. And it's a very, it's nice of a small, intimate cruise, and you become sort of family with everyone because it's not a huge, huge cruise. So it's very intimate, and by the end of the trip, you know, it's like you become close, like family-like with everyone, and it's a really nice experience.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So if anyone's okay. listening, interested, come on out. We'd love to see you.
Definitely, yeah. And tell me again, where is it sailing from?
It sails from Port Canaveral in Florida, which
okay.
is a little, it's about 45 minutes east of Orlando, and then it sails down to the Bahamas and then back up to Port Canaveral. And
okay.
You make a few stops in the Bahamas on two different islands and get to get off the ship and look around and take in the sights and then come back on for a show. And so, you know, just some music to see. And there's also a lot of free time to explore and just relax.
Just relax and have some fun. Right.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. And I want to ask you a question because somebody, I seen down at Colton's Point and everything, and a buddy of mine asked me, he loves the way that you dress when you're performing and everything. You know, was that a strategic thing or did your wife, you know, say, hey, babe, you need to put this on and look nice while you're playing?
Well, my wife says there's a direct correlation between, us being together and the way I'm dressing.
See, that's why I asked you that.
I protest her on that. And I say, you know, it was my... You know, my vision, but I have to give credit to my wife on that.
You better give her some credit for that.
She's actually called me back into the house on a couple instances while I was going out. She said, you're not going to wear that, are you? And I said, well, no, I'm not.
You was just checking to make sure she was making sure that you walk out right, right?
Right, testing her once in a while.
Oh, that's funny. I have yet to see you perform live, so I'm hoping that you will make it to the West Coast sometime soon, Las Vegas, California, so that I can see you perform.
All right. Well, in October, I'll be out there.
Okay.
Doing a couple shows around the weekend of October 23rd, I think it is. So maybe we can meet up then.
In Las Vegas?
Well, actually, I won't be in Las Vegas, but I'll be in Reno. Which is,
okay.
that'd be the closest I am to Las Vegas.
Okay.
Mm. Okay, cool.
All right.
Cool.
Well, we'll definitely need to make some plans to come and see you, for sure.
Oh, yeah. But if I can plug a show that I'm doing actually next week with Schiltz, September 5th at the Ramshead in Annapolis.
Yeah.
That's our upcoming show.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's Mike's neck of the woods. So.
Yeah, right. That's Indianapolis. Yeah. So yeah, and actually, I'll be there next week as well. So, yeah.
Oh, that okay, great.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Well, let me get to another song here. How you like me now?
All right.
Tell me about this one.
This one was inspired by a little kid who jumped up on stage with his guitar in Jacksonville, Florida, and he jammed the whole song with me. And I said, well, you know what? This kid was so cool. I said, I gotta write a song about him and for him. And this is entitled to that, you know, How You Like Me Now for this young kid. Yeah.
Okay. Like me now.
from Matt Marshak's Family Function CD. You know, Matt, I think I remember hearing or reading something about that child coming on stage and performing with you.
Yeah. it was definitely the highlight of my summer last year. And I actually, there's a couple pictures on my Facebook page that someone just posted of this young kid. And if anyone's listening, they want to check it out. They should be not too hard to find up there.
Okay. All right. Okay. Mike, do you have any more questions?
Yeah, I just want to ask Matt. I know that you work with 480 East on occasion. Now, how did you guys come up and hook that up?
Well, I had we both had the same booking agent, Mighty Music and Steve Butler, and I think they needed a guitar player for a show in Florida a couple of years ago, and so I got recruited and I played with those guys, and it was such a great time. And since then, we've probably done a dozen shows, and just what a wonderful band and great set of musicians those guys are, and it's always a joy to play with them.
Okay.
So that's how I met them.
All right.
Okay, cool. And actually, I knew the answer, but, you know, being that we have to let everybody else know, we just got to ask these questions. Because I'm sitting there asking, but I'm like, oh, I know the answer to this question already. But, you know, yes, definitely. What's the U40s? I know that Marcus Anderson is playing with you guys, too, as well, on occasion. You and Marcus play some gigs together.
Yeah, it's sort of like this, like, we're one big family, and it's, you might come to a show and see a different version of the family, and you know, we're all sometimes involved with each other's projects in ways. And in fact, I was just talking to Marcus Anderson about my upcoming project. You know, he's playing on some tracks. So, yeah, it's like a big family. You never know who's going to show up.
Okay. Now, since you mentioned the new project, Marcus Anderson is going to be on it. Who else is going to be on it?
The new project, we got Benji Parecki, a great keyboard player from Maryland, Rodney Williams, Kenny Harris, C-Man, my normal band. Let me think who else is on this project I have here. John Dillard, a great bass player from North Carolina. And let's see who else. Those are the names that are popping up so far. I think that's everyone so far. Who's been involved. But who knows, there may be some surprises. I'm working hard to try to get a couple of my idols involved, but we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
Now, you're from New York, but your live band is actually from the Maryland area. How did that come about? I mean, those guys and that guy's out of New York.
Everyone asks that. You know, I had a chance to someone asked me to play on a morning show in Baltimore one time, and a promoter down there hooked me up with some guys down there, and so on a whim I just went down, never met these gentlemen and never heard them play, and our first experience was playing on the morning show down there and a gig that night, and they did such a great job, and we instantly had a bond, and since that day, you know, these guys have been touring all over the place with me, and like I said earlier, that they are my family, and I've always had a sort of appreciation for that style out of Baltimore, D.C., and the funk go-go. It's different than New York, the style, the approach. In some ways, I feel more compatible with what happens down there. So it worked out great, and that's how I ended up with those guys.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I know when I had seen you in... You know, you had, I think the first time I ever met you, you would tell me that the band was, I guess Arch Rod Jr. uses the same band. I'm like, hold up, those guys from Maryland. Those guys are not from New York, but, yeah, but those are some great musicians, like the C-Man, and I know the last time you guys used Wawa, LeGrand last time, and all those guys, so yeah, and Benji. So yeah, those are some great musicians down here, so you do have a great set of guys that you're working with, definitely.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's just hats off to all those, all the guys you mentioned down in Maryland and D.C., just what a hotbed for talent. I mean, there's just so many great players down there, and Arch Rod and Benji and Rodney and Carl, all those guys down there, just tremendous.
Mm. Well, Mike, you definitely have to go and check him out this coming weekend, is it?
Yes.
Labor Day weekend? Yeah, you definitely got to go check him out. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, on this upcoming Sunday, we'd love to see it. Come on down to the Ramset.
Mm-hmm. All right. So those listeners in the area, go check out Matt Marshak and Schiltz. Definitely. You can find all that information on Matt's website, Matt Marshak. His last name is spelled MARSHAK.com. Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, well, thanks so much for having me, and I appreciate your show and for covering this genre.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And we look forward to this new CD this fall, October and November. Definitely look forward to that. So I definitely will be following you to get that release date.
You got it.
All right. Thank you again, and have a great day.
Okay. See you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, man. You have a good one.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that was Matt Marshak. His current CD is called Family Function, and you can find that on his website and on Amazon.com. And, of course, he's working on a new CD scheduled to be released sometime this fall. So we're looking forward to that. Definitely looking forward to that. So I was saying that I went to see Naturally 7 last night at the MGM in their arena. This arena holds 16,800 seats, and they opened for Michael Bublé, and it was sold out. The place was packed. Michael Bublé is a standards singer, and, you know, he did pretty good. He did a Michael Jackson song. He did Billie Jean. It was so funny. He moonwalked. He had the hat. He threw the hat in the audience. It was hilarious. It was really, really funny. His second job could be a comedian. He was very, very funny. But it was a good show. I enjoyed him, and especially Naturally 7 to see them perform live. But can you imagine selling out an almost 17,000-seat arena? Just unreal. Just unreal. So I had a great time last night with that. And who do we have coming up? Let's see, tomorrow.
I don't know, look, the schedule's so tight. I just forget sometimes.
We have keyboardist Brian Simpson.
That's right, Monday night.
He is the music director for Dave Cause, and he has a brand new CD called South Beach. So we will be talking to him tomorrow night about that. That is 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. This coming weekend is Labor Day weekend, so we will not be on. We are taking that weekend and Monday off, so we will not be on the air. But we will be back.
Will you be getting some ribs on that weekend, Ty? You going to be getting some ribs?
In L.A. Yes, in L.A.
Oh, you're in L.A.? Okay, so no
eating some ribs. None of your,
so no ribs.
Yes.
So your brother taking the weekend off, too, then?
Yes, we are all taking the weekend off and going down to L.A. to spend it with my aunt and her family. We have an annual picnic that we alternate between Las Vegas and L.A. And
so no showing up ribs in L.A. Okay,
LA.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, showing up ribs. No, it's going to be somebody else's ribs. They'll be just as good, but
okay.
Not quite as good as showing up, but just
they
as good.
Okay. All right, okay.
So
yeah.
We will be hanging out in L.A. next Labor Day weekend. On Saturday, September 11th, Helen Rogers will be our guest. And Helen used to be the lead singer on the Jazzmasters 1-5 albums. So if you don't know her by name, you do know her voice. So she did a lot of songs on the Jazzmaster series album. So we will be talking to her on September 11th. That is Saturday. All right,
cool.
Mike, anything to add?
No, that's it. Just listen tomorrow. Like I said, Brian Simpson City, South Beach is very good. So that should be an interesting night of music tomorrow.
Yes, definitely. All right. Well, thank you, Amazon Princess, Anisha, Bonnie Fan Carol, Joe, Werner, Jazzy Chick. Thank you all for hanging out with us in the chat room. I hope you guys have a great day today. If you are listening to an archive show, thank you so much for doing so. Check us out on Facebook. We have a fan page and a group page. Please join both. You can follow Mike and myself on Twitter. I am Jazz_Queen.
And Mike, you are?
The Daily Grind with an A, T-H-A, The Daily Grind.
T-H-A, Daily Grind on Twitter as well. So check us out, follow us, and thank you again for listening to the show today. We want to thank again Robert Cavallo, his new CD, All the Things You Know to Be True, scheduled to be released in October or November sometime. He's currently working on that. So we look forward to that CD. And thanks again to Matt Marshak for joining us and for his new CD to come out as well.
Yeah,
all right,
Steve
Butler
hooked that up too. Yeah. So we give a shout out to Steve Butler for hooking
that up,
yes.
Shout out to Steve Butler. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it so much. Thank you so much. All right, you've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you tomorrow. Until then, keep it smooth.